And that's all good. Right, so let's start. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles." The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I've become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him."
Amen. Thank you, Alice. It's so good hearing the word of God read so well. It just does. God's word is living and active, isn't it? So, just to introduce myself, I'm Johnny. So good to have you with us this morning. We have, Simo mentioned it while we were singing, that we are going to be starting a new preaching series in Acts. But to start off with, I have a question for us. Psalms. We've just paused Acts. Thank you. You're awake. You're listening. It's good. So, question to start. Do you think you are blessed? Why don't you turn to the person next to you, talk to them. Are you blessed? Give your reasons why you think you are blessed or why you think you are not blessed. Why don't you tell them and share that with them? So I'm gonna come back to that question in a minute. If you can, while I'm talking, it's sometimes helpful. When I'm preaching, sometimes helpful to take notes, to follow where I'm going, and to check in that I'm not making everything up. And so this is what that type of question is, a really helpful one to maybe make a note of. Like, do you think you're blessed? Yes or no, and why? Like, which way do you lean? And we'll come back to that question in a minute, but. You've joined us as we begin our series in... Thank you. I need someone to remember because I will forget. We're going to be preaching from the book of Psalms throughout the summer. We're going to be in different psalms as the journey goes on. And so I'm just going to start this. We've started this morning with Psalm 1 and 2. We're going to be preaching from Psalm 1 and 2, which Eilis read to us a moment ago. And this is the introduction to the whole book. It's the introduction to the whole book of Psalms, and I'll explain that in a little bit. But you may never have read the book of Psalms. Like, has anybody read from Psalm 1 to Psalm 150 in, not in one hit, all right? But have you read through the book of Psalms in order and read it through before? Anyone? Okay. Oh, what? I'm really sorry. I expected less hands. That's really bad of me. But you may not have read Psalms from beginning to end. And so what I want to do in the next minute and a half, I was going to time myself. Oh, my phone's over there, that's why. Simo, can you put a timer on? I'm going to see if I can break down what Psalms are and its purpose in a minute and a half. Okay, I'm going to see if I can do it in a minute and a half. So you're going to have to keep up with me talking. Simo, tell me when to go. See if we can do it in a minute and a half. So what is the Psalms? Psalms is 150 Hebrew poems, and they were written between 1500 BC and 600 BC, and they're organized Then they got all those poems that were written and they organized them in 700 to about 500 BC. They sort of organized them. And although it looks like there was this hodgepodge of all these books there, it's actually organized into five books. You have book number one, which is Psalm 1 to 41. Book number two, which is Psalm 42 to Psalm 72. Book number three, which is Psalm 73 to Psalm 89. Book number four, which is Psalm 90 to 106. And book number five, which is Psalm 107 to Psalm 149. And then you have five concluding psalms, Psalm 146 to 150, which are praise God psalms. But what is its purpose? These poems in the psalms, they were compiled as a prayer book for God's people, helping them stay faithful to the Torah while longing for God's promised king to come and restore all things. And hopefully, an easy way to remember that will be the tagline we've given to the Psalms, which is songs for every season. There you go. If I was, how long left? 20 seconds. I practiced that and I wasn't getting it. It was closer. So I'm really, really pleased. There we go. So the purpose of the Psalms is that they are songs for every season. This is a prayer book which has been compiled and organized in a real rightful way. It's helping us to stay faithful to God and to stay in the King and as we await him to restore all things. And so we're going to come back to that question I asked at the start. A question of, do you think you are blessed? And what reasons would you give behind yes or no? So maybe you did say yeah. Maybe you're like, yeah, because summer holidays are coming. What? You might be a teacher. I've got 6 weeks off. That is going to be amazing. So that might be you. Maybe you're joyful. Maybe you're content in the situation that you are in. Maybe not. Maybe you're dreading the prospect of looking after your kids all 6 weeks of the summer. Maybe you're really worried about finances. How are you gonna make make through the month? Or perhaps you're probably, most people, probably somewhere in between in feeling blessed. And that's the joy. This is the joy of us exploring the Psalms over the summer. Right? They are songs for every season. Songs for when we're waiting. Songs for and poems for joy and grief. For sickness and health. For those moments of the wedding moments of our lives and the funeral moments of our lives. I want us to start with Psalm 1 and 2 because it's the gateway. It is the introductory psalms to open to the rest of the psalms. So if you were to summarize what are all the psalms about, you could probably say here. In Psalm 1 and 2, this is what the psalms are about. And because of Psalm 1 and 2, it describes at the beginning of Psalm 1 and at the end of Psalm 1 what being blessed, being happy looks like. And so let me show you. So Psalm 1 starts like this. Blessed, the CSB uses happy. Happy is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the company of mockers. But blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. So that's the first verse. And then you get to the bottom of Psalm 2, and at the bottom of Psalm 2 it says, blessed or happy are those who take refuge in him. So right away, before we get into the book of Psalms, before we start praying into the waiting, start praying into the grief or the joys, we are told this is what blessed means. And in summary, in the world of the Psalms, being blessed looks like someone who is planted in God's word, in God's teaching, and is finding safety in God's King. If you were to summarize what these two are about, planted in God's word and finding safety in God's King, that is what being blessed looks like. And so I don't think we explained our reasons behind being blessed quite like that. I think most of us probably wouldn't say, oh, that's how what blessed looks like. We're more likely to go through health, wealth, and prosperity would probably be the route that we would go down when we're talking about what it is to be blessed. And so for the rest of the morning, I want to ask why. Why would Psalm 1 and 2 introduce this book and start like this? Why does being happy and blessed look like being planted in God's teaching and finding safety in the King? So for the rest of the morning, I want to give four reasons. Four reasons that we see in Psalm 1 and 2 as to why. And there are more. There are more. I'm just picking four. I'm just explaining four. And so, firstly, reason number one, those who plant themselves in God's teaching and find safety in the King are blessed because we can find nourishment. We can find nourishment. Does anyone else get hangry? Anyone hangry? Are you feeling hangry right now? You're like, oh, I can't wait to get home for lunch. When I go out for a date with Kim, we're not very organized. We will go out and we will just wander the streets thinking, what shall we have? And talk about what we shall have. And we haven't booked anywhere, so we just walk into somewhere. And we're like, oh, I'm not really feeling Wagamama's. Let's go to McDonald's. I'm not really feeling McDonald's. Let's go to wherever it is. And so you're walking around, and then I'm just getting hangrier and hangrier and hangrier. And it just evolves into just snappiness. Like, I'm just snapping all the time. And so the hanger rises, and Kim's like, just chill out. Just pick somewhere, and we'll eat. I don't care anymore. I just want to eat some food, right? And that's because I need nourishment. It's because I need some food in me, and maybe I need to learn a bit of self-control, but we need nourishment. Look at Psalm 1, verse 2 to 3. Starts off with this. So blessed are those who delight in the law of the Lord, who meditate on his law day and night. So that's what blessing looks like, because that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, whose leaf does not wither. We are nourished so completely and utterly. Whatever they do prospers. It's really clear from these verses that delighting in reading the Bible, in spending time with the King, is so good for us. It nourishes us from the inside out, just as food does when you're hangry, right? Just as it fills us and nourishes us and it goes, I'm okay now. That's what the Word of God does. It's a vivid picture in verses 2 and 3 of God's Word being like a tree, drawing from a deep source, and it shows that it brings health and strength that circumstances can't take away. So a wind might blow against the tree, but because it's planted where it's planted, it's going to be strong and healthy, and it isn't going to blow from this way and that way. And so those who dig into God's teaching, they belong to the King, and they're blessed because they find nourishment for their souls. And so I ask you, are you digging in and being nourished by the Word of God? Are you digging in and spending time with the King? Are you being nourished today? Maybe you've tried reading your Bible and it just feels really dull. It feels like this duty and you're just left thinking, I'm trying to read it. I'm trying to be nourished. I'm trying. The interesting thing, when I'm hangry and I eat, I don't have to try and be nourished. All right? It's not in our trying. So I just want to bring some challenge to you this morning. The point in reading God's Word, especially the Psalms, isn't for knowledge. We can think, I need to know the Bible more. Yeah, that does. We definitely do need to know the Bible more. It helps us. Oh, it's really good to read it. Yeah, it is really good to read it. But it isn't just for knowledge or for a good time reading. Right? The psalmists know this better. That's why they're writing what they write. God's Word is written to be prayed. God's Word is written to be sung. We've done it this morning. Holy, holy, holy. It's from the Bible, right? We sing it. It's to be sung. It's to be lived out. We're to live it out. So we're to pray it. We're to sing it. We're to live it out. When we are planted in God's Word, it's about nourishment. It nourishes us because it invites us into these moments where we wrestle, these wrestling moments, and moments where we are restored, where it's refreshing. This water to my soul, this is so good for me. But there's also response. I need to go and do something. When we read God's Word and it nourishes us, there is wrestling, there is restoration, and there is response. It puts a mantle down to have honesty and raw emotion before God and interact with Him. Psalm 139, search me, God. We really want God to search us? God, search me. Know my heart. Please don't know my heart, God. Test me. See if there's any offense in my way. That is wrestling. That is restorative. That is a response needed prayer. That's what we get in the Psalms. So reading God's word, it isn't passive. It's an active invitation for God to reshape our motives and align our hearts to his. And it's challenging because it nourishes our soul. If I'm struggling with anger, if I'm just struggling to enjoy being around my children, if I'm just struggling with porn or struggling with joy or whatever it is, ask yourself, do I look to God's word to nourish me in these areas? Or am I open to wrestling, restoration, and response in those areas? Which is it to be? Do I spend time with the King and talk about these areas? Am I honest with God? Am I wrestling there? Psalm 1 and 2 are really clear about this. Those who dig into God's teaching and belong to the King, they are blessed because they find nourishment for their souls. But also, they can find encouragement when intimidated. We can find real courage within us because of Christ in me when we are intimidated. Can you just geek out with me for a moment? Anyone like maps? Anyone a map fan? So here's a map. This is a map. This is a map of the world and what the world would have looked like during Psalm 1 and 2. So when they got all these 150 Hebrew poems and they collated them together, when they collected Psalm 1 and 2, this is what the world was like. This is what the local and a bit wider area would have looked like. And you're like, that's fine, cool. Why are you telling me this? Because the state of God's people in around 500 to 600 BC matters when we read Psalm 1 and 2, right? Just imagine, like these psalms were sung. These psalms were thought about, they were memorized, they're memorizing these psalms, and so they're memorizing these two psalms, and there's no more great King David. Those days are gone. Those days are dead and gone. They've now got neighbors like the Egyptians below them, who are trying to conspire to take some of their land. They've got the Assyrians who are really up for butchering them and making them slaves. They've got, just a bit further afield, they've got Babylonia. They're not very nice. They're pretty big. They're pretty powerful. They want to take all of Israel's wealth. Then you've got even further afield than that. You've got the Medes and not on the map, the Persians. There's all these massive, powerful countries. If you know ancient history, you'll know about them, right? These were powerful nations. They were, in the words of Ron Burgundy, they were a big deal, right? They were a big deal. They would have intimidated little old Israel. Look how small Judah is. It's tiny, compared, not just in size, but in power, in strength, in wealth, in political might. And then we read Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and people plot in vain? The king of the earth, the king of the Babylonians, the king of Egypt, the king of Assyria, the kings of Mede and Persia, the king of the earth, they set themselves, and the rulers, they take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And then we jump to verse 4. He sits on his throne in the heavens and laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. You have these large, corrupt countries. They are intimidating little old Israel, and God sits in the heavens, and he's like... he's just sniggering to themselves. The world is not falling apart at the seams. We can look at what's happening with many different nations, all the different nations that we see around us, right? If you think about the superpowers of today, if you think about the leaders of today who try and intimidate and get all the power and get all the wealth, we don't have to think very far. We don't have to think very hard. Not much has really changed. Not much has really changed. And yet God says, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. Why can I live happy and blessed by being planted in God's word and in his king, because God's word is a reminder that God's king cannot be intimidated. God's king is not intimidated. And don't miss this, right? We can think, oh, that's out there. It's about Russia and the US, and look at all their power. We can think about that. We can think about the world. But no. How much intimidation comes at us on a personal level? Don't miss the encouragement here. Because God's king is not intimidated, and if you're a Christian, you are in Christ, and if that is the case, if you are in him, we can scoff like our king at the intimidation of compromise, at the intimidation of comparison or secrecy that Satan tries to whisper into our hearts. So you get these intimidations of compromise. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you want to use porn. It doesn't matter that you pay less on your tax just to save yourself that little bit of money. It doesn't matter that you don't go to church, you don't go to life group, you don't give, you don't serve, you don't live as a Christian. It doesn't matter. There's these whispers of compromise, this intimidation to compromise. No. Does the Bible really say that? Satan's been doing it since Genesis 1. And then you've got intimidation that doesn't sound like compromise, but more like comparison of you're not. You're not as successful as you think you are. You're not as successful as you think you should be. Look at them. Look at their house. Look at their car. Look at their kids. You're not as fulfilled as you think you are. You're not really fulfilled. Jesus doesn't really fulfill you enough. No, look, you need a husband or a wife to complete you. You need kids to complete you. You need this or that to complete you. You're not as fulfilled as you think you are. And intimidation can come at us as secrecy as well. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone that you're struggling. Don't tell anyone you're struggling with your alcohol. Don't tell anyone that you're struggling with your marriage, with your faith, with your job, with your finances. Don't tell anyone you've not read your Bible for the last couple of weeks, last couple of months, last couple of years. Don't tell anyone you're questioning if God is who he says he is. Don't tell anyone. And so we've got these intimidations of secrecy and of compromise and of comparison. And if you're feeling these intimidation whispers, be reminded through the psalm that Jesus does not rule like the Babylonians. He doesn't rule like the Medes and the Persians and the US and the Russians and the British. He doesn't rule like any other corrupt nation. Instead, he ruled with a crown of thorns and mercy at his right hand. That's our king. That's who the king is. That means instead of you're not this or you're not that, it becomes you are in him. You are safe. You are secure. Come and just know him deeper. Come and enjoy him more. Instead of don't tell anyone, Jesus, the king says, come, let's just chat. Let's talk. Come talk with me. Come spend time with me. Talk to those in your family. Talk to the church. Tell them. Share life together. Be rubbish together. Right, we don't need to be intimidated because the real king wears a crown of thorns and has mercy at his right hand. That's who you are if you're a Christian. There is courage within intimidation. But also, we know we are blessed because we know that to be planted in God's teaching and safety is good because that's a wise thing to do. In Psalm 1 and 2, there's quite a few warning passages can make us feel a little, not sure on that one, uncomfortable. And we could go into lots of detail about that. But in Psalm 1 and 2, we have an invitation to make a wise choice of planting ourselves in God's word and God's king or not. Like Alice brought her word, it was that we would submit to his will and his purpose because he has got the plumb line set. He's already got the plumb line set. Look with me at Psalm 2, verse 10 to 12. And this is a slight rewording of Psalm 1, 6. All right? Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned of the rulers of the earth. Right? Note, he's already given reasons to be warned in verses 8 and 9. Right? Make a good choice. And this is the choice you make. You can kiss the sun, which means to live in him. You can dwell in the sun, or you can lead towards destruction. They're the two ways to go. And so Psalm 1 and 2, and all of Psalms really, they refuse to shrink God down into this manageable version of him. This pocket-sized wallet that we can just open up when we need to use it. It doesn't shrink down into this manageable version to make us feel comfortable. These types of verses, they get us uncomfortable, can't they? And we can be left with questions, but we must remember, like I mentioned earlier, with wrestling and restoration and response, the purpose of the Psalms are to help us see God. That's their purpose, to see God in every season, to be able to sing in every season, and not as we wish. It's not going to be as we wish. It's not going to even be the way that we hope it's going to be, all right? But as he actually reveals himself. Eugene Peterson says it this way, and it's often because we've got a wrong view of God, actually. Just to be aware, it's because we've got the wrong view of God. Left to ourselves, we will pray to some God who speaks what we like hearing, or the part of God we manage to understand. But what is critical is that we speak to the God who speaks to us. And to understand everything that he speaks to us, what is essential in prayer is not that we learn to express ourselves, but we learn to answer God. Not that we express ourselves, but we learn to answer God. The beginning of Psalm 1 warns how unwise it is, but how easy it is to drift into life living for a God that we can manage and understand and control. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. It's so easy to drift. It's so easy to just, we can go from walking and then, I'm a bit tired, we best just stop here. And now I need to sit down, I need to rest. We can so easily go from walking to standing to sitting. We can so easily drift into just wanting God to be one we can manage and we can control and is easy. We don't even realize where we've got to. Psalm 1 and 2 are telling us it's not a wise choice to plant yourself and find security in anything else but the real thing. Rather than anything other than God. We see in verse 4 what happens when we do. Look at verse 4 with me of Psalm 1. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Right, they're like sawdust. I'm going to ask a question, and it's quite I think we'll be like, obviously I want that one. All right. If I was to use the Psalm 1 and 2 language, which would you prefer? Would you prefer to be a healthy tree or a bit of sawdust? Would you prefer to be a healthy tree? And what that means is something that's fruitful. You've got a job. You've got a purpose. You've got meaning. You're nourished. You've got life in you. You're nourished. You're growing and you're building and you're multiplying. And things that you and the seeds that you have on your tree, they fly out and they produce more trees. Or do you want to be like sawdust? You bring no weight to anything. You get blown from place to place. That looks like a good idea. Well, that looks like a good idea. And you just drift. And you find unfulfillment everywhere you go. And if you do get caught in the ground, you're not a seed like in a tree. You're actually decaying. Like sawdust decays in the ground. Do you want to be sawdust or a tree? Whether you believe in God or not, I am certain we would all prefer our lives to be more tree-like than chaffy. Right? We would prefer to be that than sawdust. And so I ask you this weird but challenging question. What are you wanting to be, a tree or a sawdust? Are you making wise decisions to follow Jesus or not? Are you someone who struggles with drinking but you're consistently going to the pub? Are you someone who struggles with anger and doesn't take that moment to just reflect before shouting and exploding? Are you someone who is vulnerable to insecurity and you need validation and so you're just constantly online seeking that validation? Is that you? When we are sawdust, we go to all these other places and we don't find that they might help for a season, but they don't help. As Christians, we need to be wise. We need to plant ourselves in God's word and in God. And sometimes that means not going online, not going to the pub, not going to those places, because that's the wise thing to do. So why does being happy or blessed look like being planted in God's teaching? Finding security in his king, because also we can know completeness. Maybe because of, so I asked you earlier today if you do feel blessed or not. And I know some of you today, you probably said, I don't feel very blessed. And maybe that is because of just general tiredness, just pressures of life. They come, they happen, they hurt. Maybe your successes haven't satisfied you. Maybe your failures or current life experiences, they just really are too much. Psalm 1 opens with, blessed is the one who does not walk in the way of the wicked. Right? Here is the uncomfortable truth. We are not the tree. We are the wicked. In the phrasing of Psalm 1, we've walked our own way. We've stood in our own pride, and we've sat in our own pigsty of sin. And no wonder life feels incomplete, because we are incomplete without God. Genesis, ruined. We ruined it. And that disease has spread through all of history to right now. But then we read. So it starts with that at Psalm 1. And then we get at the bottom of Psalm 2. It ends with the invitation. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. You will always feel, if you're somebody, I just feel so incomplete. If that's you, you will always feel incomplete until you take refuge in the one who is complete. He is the completeness. He is the one who is on Zion's throne. He is the one who is the tree planted by living water. His name is Jesus. And so, it really isn't a question of, do I feel blessed or not? It's a question of, are you in Christ? Are you in Jesus? And if your answer is no, I just say don't leave today without just questioning it. Talking to somebody, talking to anybody you know about it. The one who can make you whole. How can he make me whole? Like, if you want to ask that question, come and ask it. If you would say yes to that question, but you don't feel blessed, ask yourself why. Have you wandered? Have you started to just wander and stand and sit in the wrong places? Are you trying to fill emptiness with something else? Is that you? It's not about trying harder. I just want to tell you, stop trying harder. Right? This isn't about you trying anything. Stop trying harder and start enjoying your safety in Jesus. Start enjoying that. That is the root of it. That's where the living water is. So if we want to be a tree by the water, we've got to be by the water, and the water is Jesus. All right? Stop trying to do it yourself. Stop trying to be the water. Stop trying to make yourself grow. Trees don't go, oh, I've got to grow. I will grow. No. They just enjoy where they're planted, and they just absorb all the goodness. That's what they do. Absorb the goodness of God. Open your heart. Stop trying harder and enjoy the safety that you have got in Christ. Open his word tonight before you go to bed. Open your heart. Say to him, Lord, remind me that you are good. Remind me that you love me. Remind me that you are for me. Being happy looks like someone planted in God's word and finding safety in God's king, because there is nourishment for our souls. We can be intimidated, but there is so much courage that we can hold. It's a really wise, just clever thing to do. But it's the place that we can know completeness in God. We can know what it is to be fully complete. And so what I want us to do, I want to land this morning by just reading a psalm. And we're not going to have the music up. We're not going to play any music. But you may want to stand. You may want to sit. You may want to kneel. I don't really care what posture you take. But I want the words of this psalm to nourish your soul. I want the words of this psalm to bring you courage if you are feeling intimidated. I want the words of this psalm to bring a sense of refreshment so you feel just, I know I'm complete in Christ. And just be like, oh, I'm so pleased, God, I've chosen to follow you. This is so good for me. And so I'm going to read that. And the reason I'm reading Psalm 34. So you can follow it if you want to follow it. You can just close your eyes and listen to it. It doesn't really matter. But let the words just resonate in your heart. I'm not going to pray after. This is just, I'm just reading God's word. God's word is living and active. Just read God's word. Let it rest in your heart. Because I then want the band to come up. And they're going to sing. And they're going to sing a song that relates to this psalm and relates to everything we've spoken about this morning. And you can sing it if you want, but I want this to minister to you. I want the words of the song to minister to you. So let me read this psalm, and then the band will play. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will give glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I searched for the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him from his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his holy people. Those who fear him lack nothing. The lions, they may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack nothing good. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many days, keep your tongue from evil, your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from their trouble. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from all. He protects all his bones. Not one will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. That is our God. King Jesus, we love you. Why don't we just rest in him right now? So the band are going to sing a song. You can choose to sing, you can choose to sit, you can choose to kneel. But as they sing, let it just resonate in you. The song is, blessed are those. So bless God, blessed are those who run to him, who place their hope, their confidence in Jesus. Is that you this morning? Where is your hope? Let it be a prayer of a resubmission to Christ. Oh God, I want to put my trust in you. Not my trust in me, not my trust in anything else, but my trust in you. Let this be your prayer this morning.